Good afternoon, and may the Lord give you his peace. This is your daily message of hope here on St. Gabriel Catholic Radio. This is Father Stosh Daly, joined by Brother Tommy Piolata.
Hello.
Brother, you are a Capuchin Franciscan, part of the big, huge Franciscan family, but
well
you're
played.
In the Capuchin branch,
yep.
Right? Where's the Capuchin Franciscans? Where are they based?
Well, my province, our mother house would be in Pittsburgh.
Oh, so and not so far.
No, not so far.
And but where do you live?
I live in Rome.
That is kind of far.
That's a little bit farther away.
So what brings you to Columbus?
I'm on my home visit, visiting family and friars here in the States, and then I'll be back in Rome.
Nice.
God willing, for the next semester.
So tell me something about your province of the Capuchins. Where are you guys stationed? What do you guys do? I see that you wear brown.
We do wear brown. Yep. We are stationed in Ohio, in Pennsylvania, Maryland, Washington D.C.
Mm-hmm.
That's our more or less our general area.
Nice.
And we do a wide variety of ministries.
Mm-hmm.
We have men who are parish priests. We have men who work in formation to train the younger friars. We have men who are chaplains, prison chaplains.
Oh, wow, nice.
And hospital chaplains.
Yeah.
And recently we were trying to get more involved in different forms of youth ministry,
sure.
Whether that be on a college campus or with young adults. And then, of course, working with the poor has always been very dear to Franciscans in general.
Yeah.
And trying to be there for the poor.
The Franciscans, when a lot of people think of the Franciscans, a lot of people are drawn to and they consider the importance of the vow of poverty.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and in the Franciscan tradition, you have this beautiful custom of referring to poverty as Lady Poverty. And the beautiful thing is, even though you have your friars represented in a variety of different ministries, you know, following the gospel with this simplicity, you know, this strong desire to maintain roots in poverty, it gives you the opportunity to minister to a lot of different people
mm-hmm.
from a lot of different backgrounds.
Oh, yeah.
Whether they be parishioners or prisoners, students, the poor, the homeless,
mm-hmm.
Military
mm-hmm.
As chaplains, you know, it gives you a flexibility.
It does.
Almost like a universality
on
a mission. What are you particularly doing now as a Capuchin in your own life?
So I am pursuing studies in Rome,
mm-hmm.
and the goal will be a doctorate in theology and then hopefully be a professor of theology. I would love to teach theology and write and read. And
how do you see the poverty that is so beautifully lived out by the Franciscans? How do you see that helping you in the classroom as a professor?
That's a great question.
Other than asking for pens and pencils.
That's a great question. You know, there's a marvelous tradition in the Franciscan order of theologians and of great preachers as well. And so I remember one of my formators said, in the Capuchins, we have two of our great saints, Saint Felix of Cantalice, our first Capuchin saint, and Saint Lawrence of Brindisi.
Oh,
he was a Capuchin doctor of the church,
yeah.
A great preacher. And he said, when Saint Felix moved from friary to friary, he brought his napkin. That was the only thing he brought with him. When Saint Lawrence moved from friary to friary, he brought wagons of books, all of his books for preaching. And yet they both are saints and they both lived poverty and they both loved Lady Poverty. I think for me, how has poverty helped me? It's helped me be available, and it's helped me to not own even the ideas that I have about theology. I think one of the most freeing moments in my life too was even before I was a friar, when I realized I was wrong about something.
Yeah.
You know, all of a sudden you've realized we don't have all the answers.
Sure.
And poverty really reinforced that for me.
Yeah.
And so in the classroom, there's a beautiful way of manifesting poverty through silence, by listening to others, and being, you know, available that whoever's speaking might have something to say.
Yeah,
I think, you know, if you're poor and you're hungry, no matter the food, you're going to want to eat it.
Right.
Right. And so there's a kind of interior poverty that we can also cherish, where no matter the spiritual food, for lack of better terms, we want it all.
Yeah.
So for me, it's helped me be available. I think availability would be the right term.
Do you think there's something to the idea that the poverty found within Christianity, it allows us to love more authentically because we're no longer afraid. Fear and love are obvious. You know, they're the opposites, you might say. St. Paul reminds us in his epistles and letters, fear and love are opposites. But when Christian poverty is lived and lived well, you love more because you're not afraid of losing what you have, you know?
And you're not holding on to anything.
Right.
I mean, you know, St. Augustine said that the more we own, actually, the more we're attached to all these things.
Yes.
And that actually does not free us.
No, it holds us back.
It holds us back, if anything. And Francis, I think, was utterly poor and utterly free to love.
Yeah.
Utterly free to love. And in fact, the actual vow we take is a vow to live without anything of our own.
Mm.
And in one of Francis's writings, he says explicitly, to live without anything of one's own is to not get angry at the sins of another, but to only get angry at your own sins.
Yeah.
And so what that means is that the sins of another should not inhibit us from loving them.
Right.
Right? So our poverty should, I think, be an avenue of unlimited freedom.
Yeah. I think, you know, oftentimes in the church today, there's incredible frustration. It may be even anger, righteous anger, because we look to the church for wisdom. We look to the church for truth.
Mm-hmm.
We even look to the church for correction. But then when we turn to the church, her ministers oftentimes are cowardly.
Yeah.
They're afraid to preach the truth. And oftentimes it's because they're worried about money. They don't want to preach the truth because they don't want people to not give, you know? And so you can see how in our own present moment, the Lord is stripping us of a lot of that wealth. But where you find the truth proclaimed authentically and sincerely, you always find riches of another kind, riches of another world, you know? And for our listeners today, you know, it's something to consider. Where are the riches in your life? Are the riches found in your heart or are they found in your hands? And if the riches you have are found in your hands, that which you can touch and that which you call your own and that which you're driving and that which you're pushing and that which you're cleaning, then oftentimes the heart is bankrupt. But then when you find in your heart incredible riches, you know, the holy faith, knowledge of Jesus, love for Jesus, a desire to serve Jesus, knowledge and love of the Blessed Virgin Mary, I mean, you gain insights into the wisdom of another world. You gain insights into the reality of our faith. You don't really care what's in your hands, you know?
No, and in fact, the whole world becomes infinitely more beautiful. I think life becomes much more beautiful. I mean, it's sad when people are more concerned about what's in their hands than what's in their heart.
Right.
There's a real sense of you can feel sorry for them because their world is fundamentally empty, actually.
Right.
And only a man like St. Francis could write his great poem, The Canticle of Creation, where he refers to the sun as brother sun and sister moon.
Right.
This is no romantic kind of, pagan folklore, just romanticism. No, he saw the utter beauty of creation, that through creation, he was able to see the fantastic glory of God. Only a man like Francis could do that.
Yeah.
So in some sense, you can ask yourself, you know, do you want to look at your car and be mesmerized by your car? Or do you want every detail of the created world to set your life on fire?
Mm-hmm.
One sounds so much more interesting.
And it won't break down on the side of the road.
And it will never need to be taken to a mechanic.
So the idea, I mean, the beautiful invitation or that which is offered to us is to find adventure in the present moment, because the riches the Lord has offered to us are riches that are meant to be cherished in the heart, not carried in the
hand. That's right. And it takes courage. It takes great courage. A man like St. Francis is a man full of courage. You know, he left a world where he would have been extremely well off.
Right.
He was in the rising middle class, and his father was a merchant.
Yeah.
He never wanted for anything, and he could have lived a very, very comfortable life.
Yeah.
But he was courageous. And I think also of St. Joseph.
Mm.
In the beginning of Matthew's gospel, what does the angel say to him? Don't be afraid to welcome Mary into your home.
Yeah.
This is a man then who is profoundly, profoundly courageous. He's a just man, the Bible says. And that means, among other things, he wants to be faithful to the will of God, and he doesn't want to interfere with God's plan. Mm. And so he knows the importance of Mary in the plan of salvation, and yet he has the courage to take her into his home and to be her husband and the father of the child Jesus.
You know, St. Joseph is remembered on Wednesday for a reason, because Sunday is the day of the resurrection, Saturday is the day set aside for venerating Our Lady, who teaches us how to maintain faith. But right there in the middle of the week, the Church invites us, her children, to lift up our eyes and to consider good St. Joseph. Whether we consider him under the title St. Joseph the Worker, St. Joseph, spouse of the Blessed Virgin Mary, St. Joseph, guardian of the Christ child, St. Joseph, one of my favorite titles is Terror of Demons, you know? and there's something there, but St. Joseph doesn't always command a lot of attention, you know, but you'll find that, like in the words of St. Teresa of Avila, she said, if you struggle with your relationship with good St. Joseph, wait for that moment when you've got something really big, something really oppressive in its weight. You know, it's like there's that intention, and, you know, whether it's a lost job or trying to find a house or, you know, maybe trying to provide for a loved one or a matter of health, then take that to St. Joseph. Right smack dab in the middle of the week, you know, this hump day,
yep.
You know, okay, 2 days down, I just got to make it through this day, two more to go. And too many of us live weekend to weekend.
Sure.
And everything in between is just, you know, unfortunately,
getting to the weekend.
I just got to make money, you know, but St. Joseph is a beautiful patron. So as we, you know, wrap up this daily message of hope on this Wednesday, we encourage you to consider how the Lord is offering you all of the riches that you need, but those riches that he offers are the riches that are supposed to be found within the heart. So we ask St. Joseph for his prayers and his intercession that we may be faithful to the gospel and that our riches that we await in the next kingdom are found within the heart today. May the Lord give you his peace.